Today we start part two of a series based on 1 John, Walking in Love. And of course, we had Awana Sunday, so we took a 1 week break from it, but now we will hope to move ahead with it. And we do have a responsive reading today from 1 John, and it's on this cream-colored piece of paper with the notes on one side and the reading on the other. So let's get that and stand together in honor of God's Word. I'll read the light print, I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that last verse. John chapters 1 and 2 here. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today for all truth, all love come from You. Fellowship comes from You. Redemption comes from You. Cleansing and forgiveness come from You. All of these things come from You. And we cannot have them except by You and in You through Your Son. And so, Lord, today we pray that we would live the reality of what we profess. We profess to have fellowship with You, and we profess to have fellowship with one another. And so we pray now, Lord, that You would help us and enable us to actually live daily in the reality of what we profess and of all that Your Word declares. We thank You that these things are ours through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray today, dear Lord, that You will be working in us in greater and greater measure, that we may be walking in love even as Your Word instructs. And that we would learn what love is, and that we would live in it, both from You and toward one another. Now, Lord, thank You for Your holy word. It says in Your word that Your word is like a sharp, two-edged sword that penetrates to the deepest parts of our heart. And I just pray that You will take Your word, not necessarily any words I speak, but take Your word and just use it to really do whatever is needed in our hearts today. May we open our hearts to You, Lord, and let You do the work that You want to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Just a couple notes before we get started today. The pink sheet is just for people like me that like to know the nuts and bolts of something that you're studying. Someone might say, well, why would you spend all that time figuring out how many times a word appears in a book? Well, for me at least, the reason is very simple. By identifying what the words are and by identifying how often these words occur, I find out what the book is about. And so that's just for whatever, you know, use you may have for it. But it does let us know. You glance at some of those top 12 words there, and you get a real quick idea what the book of 1 John is about. And if you need the complete notes, complete with the scripture passages typed out and everything, you just go to our church webpage, sncccc.net, and you'll find them there week by week. We ended last time while we were talking about fellowship, and chapter 1 is really about fellowship. The fellowship we have with our Heavenly Father and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the fellowship that we have with one another. And then in chapter 1 and the opening verses of chapter 2, John gives us pretty much the keys to walking in fellowship and continuing in fellowship. And we were talking about how today so many people are living out of fellowship. And not that I'm picking on him, but I referred to Dr. Phil's show. And all you have to do is watch a few episodes of Dr. Phil, and you know what it looks like when people are living out of fellowship. Because that, you know, and then you see the hurt, and you see the pain, and you see the anger, and you see the pride and the haughtiness. And you see all of these things on display. And I imagine we look at those things and we just shake our heads and we're like, I can't figure out how anybody could be that and this and that. And we're looking at extremes. But would you agree that there's probably some of that stuff in every single one of us? And the Lord knows that. And he wants to deal with that. Now, when we come to Jesus and we receive his forgiveness, that's the beginning of a relationship with God. Prior to that, we have no relationship with God. It's only when we come and we receive forgiveness through Jesus that we then begin to have a relationship with God. And then the other part of that that goes with that is that now, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, washed and redeemed by the blood, we are supposed to have fellowship with each other. Even our husbands and wives, even our children, even our parents, even our brothers and sisters in the home, and then on out from there. And I say even them because I think love sometimes is the most difficult to practice at home. Any agreement there? I'll leave that for you to decide. But maybe your worst problems aren't at home. I hope they're not. I hope they're at work. Down at the shop or at the office or wherever. But the point is that there is in our natural, in our natural state, in the natural, there is some of this in all of us, and the Lord knows it. And so the Lord, in saving us, he has given us a change of heart where we now have a heart toward him and all that. But even so, this thing needs fine-tuning from time to time. And so the Lord has provided means whereby we may walk in fellowship with one another and with him in spite of our imperfections. Because in Christ I'm perfect, but in the nasty now and in reality, I'm not. How many here ever have a feeling that you know in your heart you shouldn't have? How many of you at times want to utter words that you may utter or think better of? But, so the Lord has a mechanism whereby we can live in fellowship, and that is his desire. And there is no excuse. We can't say, well, I'm just this way or I'm that way or I'm that the other way, because the Lord has made provision for that. And so it is a shame if we're a believer to be walking out of fellowship, whether it be with each other or just certain people or the Lord or whomever. It's a shame to be walking out of fellowship because we don't have to in spite of our imperfections. We can still have ongoing and sweet and growing and deepening fellowship. So today we're going to talk about a few things that will interfere with fellowship until they are resolved. So if you're one who likes to keep the notes, now would be the time to start. Now, first we're going to talk about things that will break our fellowship with God. Doesn't mean necessarily we've lost our salvation, but it means as long as we're holding on to that and we haven't received cleansing for it, and we haven't fixed it and haven't confessed it and haven't gotten right, then we're not going to have good fellowship with the Lord while all of this is going on. Basic causes of broken fellowship, which are mentioned right here in the book. The first one is unresolved sin. Unresolved sin. Now, the word sin is one of those that occurs many, many times. Sin 14 times, sins 8 times, sinning 3 times, sinned once, sinful 2 times. So you can see that the subject of sin is a subject that occurs very, very much throughout the book of 1 John. Jesus came for the very purpose of removing our what? Our sins. Our number one problem isn't our neighbor or our husband or our wife or circumstances. It's our sin. That is the number one problem. And that is the problem that Jesus came to fix. Now, sin, that's one little three-letter word. And then it has tens of thousands of, other names and outworkings and expressions and nuances and all the rest. But sin of any type, which is anything that we do outside of the will and character of God, anything we do outside of the will and character of God is sin. And sin breaks fellowship. And so, when we sin, it's not that we never sin. That's not the reason we walk around in broken fellowship with the Lord. It's because that when we do sin, we do the wrong thing. One of the first mistakes that we make is that we ignore or deny our sin. Have you ever done that? I have. And I'm miserable the whole time. And I don't get back in fellowship until I go to the Lord and fess up and make reconciliation. But we ignore it. He says, if anybody says that they haven't sinned, you know what he says about you? He doesn't talk real nice about you if you're in denial about your sin. If we claim to be without sin, he says we're self-deceived and the truth isn't in us. And he also says in verse 10, chapter 1, if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. And his word has no place in our lives. So the first step to confessing a sin or whatever and repenting of it is even acknowledging that it exists and owning up to it. We like to call sin by all kinds of other names, you know. We call hatred dislike, and we do a whole lot of other things. You know, we play with words. But the Lord knows what it is, and we can't fool him. And so he has a provision whereby he can actually remove it and extract it. If you had a tumor growing in you, wouldn't you want some doctor to go in and extract it and take it out? And so the Lord has a means where that can be done, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't walk around in denial. We're deceiving ourselves. God loves us unconditionally, but his love is based in truth and in reality. And as long as we're holding on to our sin, he can't help us. And we can't walk in active fellowship with him. My dad used to say, and if you've been here any length of time, you know I quote this often. He said, you can't sing and whistle at the same time. You ever tried that? You can't sing and whistle at the same time. You can't be walking in fellowship and out of fellowship at the same time. And so sin, this is a message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, now his light is his truth. So anytime we're walking outside the truth, his revealed truth, we're walking in darkness. He didn't say we profess. He said we walk. Walk is your daily life. How you're actually living when you get up in the morning. How you're actually doing it, not what you profess. And yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. So it's not that we never mess up, but it's when we mess up, we're not afraid to bring it into the light. Are you afraid to bring the things in your life that aren't right before the Lord? Are you willing to bring them into the light? Are you willing to have the light shone on them? If you're not, the Lord can't help you until you're willing for the light. Now, when the light hits it, a lot of times it's very, very ugly. However, I've noticed that the brighter the light is, the better you can see the object. I'm at the age now where I not only use glasses, but I sometimes use a magnifying glass. And I was just telling somebody today, sometimes I've got my glasses, the magnifying glass, and a bright light. Just so that I can clearly see what I'm trying to see. But whatever you bring out under the light, then it's exposed. And until we're willing to do that, that there's not much that can be done for it. But he says, if we confess our sins. Now, does that mean a mechanical confession? All I got to do is just confess it and everything will be all right. No. The fact that I'm confessing it means, what is confession? Confession is, Lord, I have sinned. What did the prodigal son say? Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to even be called your son. That's confession. But the other part of the confession is, but I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I know he shed his blood for me, and I know, Lord, that you have forgiveness and you have cleansing for me. And when we receive that cleansing, we know it. You can't receive that cleansing and not know it. And then we're forgiven, and then fellowship is restored. And so, sin, number one thing. Second thing that'll interfere with fellowship with God. B, a divided heart. A divided heart, that is competing desires and influences. You got any of those in your life? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's strong language. For everything in the world. Do you hear what he's saying? He didn't say most of the stuff in the world. He said everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And there are many of us that haven't gone out and done some kind of rank thing or rank sin, but there's just way too much love for the world and its ways in our hearts and in our lives. And that's why we don't experience the joy, and that's why we don't experience the victory, and that's why we don't enjoy the full fellowship with our brothers and sisters like we ought to be enjoying, because there are competing things in our lives, and those competing things are idols. And until they are gone, they interfere with our devotion to the Lord. So if we're finding some of that, there's a lot of that in the world today. And it was predicted in Scripture that before the coming of Jesus, that's the way it would be. Having a form, an outward form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A third thing that can interfere with our fellowship with the Lord is erroneous beliefs and doctrine. Yes, what you believe is important, and if you doubt it, read the Scripture passages that are listed after this here. Because there are many, many false teachings out there. And it won't necessarily, if you still know Jesus died on the cross for you, it won't necessarily damn you, but it will damage your ability to have fellowship with the Lord. We need to be walking in His truth and walking in His Word. And so, be careful who you listen to. Be careful. And stay close to the Word of God. Because the better you know His Word, the better you're going to understand Him. And the better you understand Him, the better fellowship you're going to be able to have. And then D, and of course this one comes under both categories, wrong attitudes and actions toward our brother, an unloving heart. You see, throughout the book of John, he ties the two together. He says, if you say, I love God, and you hate your brother, you're lying. He says, how can you love God? You've never even seen Him. When you can't love your brother who's right there in front of you. How is it possible? If you see your brother going through need and you don't help him, how can you say that God's love is living and dwelling in you? And things like that, he says. So, how we feel about our brother and sister does affect our ability to have fellowship with him. I often tell this story about little Susie or whatever her name was, hugging her dad in the recliner with her up in his lap, but hugging his neck, and her little brother Bobby's down behind where Daddy can't see her, and she's hugging Daddy and sticking her tongue out at Bobby. And the mother saw it, and she said, Susie, stop it. You can't be telling your daddy you love him while you're sticking your tongue out at your brother. And that's more or less the principle that's laid out here in the Word of the Lord. I wish we had more time for this, but we don't. Just about all of these are almost a sermon in themselves. Another thing which is mentioned in 1 John, which of course never applies to us, but occasionally applies to some people we know. Hypocritical behavior, living contrary to our profession. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. So we can't be talking one way and living another, because the old saying was, and by the way, this one's not in the Bible, although the principle's there, actions speak louder than words. Okay. Number two, fellowship with each other. We'll go through these quickly. It's almost the same thing, but just, you know, unresolved conflicts and issues with our brother. There are way too many people out there that had a run-in with somebody or disagreement with somebody or some ill will or something, you know, weeks ago, months ago, or in many cases years ago, and it's still hanging out there unresolved. Never gone to them, never talked about it, never sought to work it out. And Matthew 18, of course, tells us that's what we're supposed to do. And then if they won't listen, we go back. And then if we won't listen, we bring the church into it, if it's a Christ, you know, related matter. But unresolved stuff hanging out there, unresolved issues, I guess we think, hey, if I ignore it, it'll go away. Well, I'm 61 years old, and I've never seen anything that was ignored go away. Not of that type of thing. And it just stays there, and if we ignore it long enough, we may think it's gone. But did you know it's not gone? It's not gone until it's resolved. Then it's gone. But until it's resolved, it's not gone. And you may think it's gone. And then one day something happens and all the old feelings come flooding back. You ever had it happen? And then all of a sudden you realize, hey, it isn't gone. Of course it's not gone. You never resolved it. And so, if we have some stuff hanging out there like that, the Lord may be saying to us, hey, the Holy Spirit may gently be saying to us, you got a little unfinished business to take care of. Go and be reconciled to your brother. And if you go, and there's no reconciliation because they won't receive you, then you're in the clear, but you've done the best that you could. Amen? B, wrong attitudes and feelings. Years ago, I heard a local church, won't say who, one lady said of another, she said, I don't wish her any ill will or anything, but if a train ran over and killed her, it'd be all the same to me. And it isn't just what we do. See, what we do, other people know about. Sometimes what we really think and feel, only we know about. So if we're the only ones that know about it, does that mean it doesn't affect fellowship? Think about that one a little bit. No, we need to repent of that, just like we need to repent of anything else, because that's got to be gone before full fellowship can happen. And even if our brother doesn't know we feel that way, the Lord knows it. Oh, this is a message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And then this one is more like what they used to call a sin of omission, but it's mentioned in 1 John 3:16 to 18, the third thing that will interfere with fellowship with each other, neglect of our brother. Just neglect. We don't hate them. We don't have any ill feelings toward them. We just neglect them. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, do you think laying down your life for a brother is just letting somebody shoot you in front of the firing squad? That might be easier because it might only last a minute or two. But what about laying your life down daily for your brother by giving up your own desires and what you want so that you can play the role in that person's life that the Lord wants you to play and be the influence in that life that the Lord wants you to be. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, and I take that to mean doesn't actually help him. How can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And I'll end there. What if Jesus had only said from heaven, I love you? What What if he hadn't actually come and put up with all he put up with? What if he hadn't actually allowed them to crucify him and take him to the cross? Do you know what that would mean? He might love us in his heart, but it would mean that we would all still be lost forever, and we would still be in our sin. So this love thing, how long does it last? Well, it starts on the day we come to know Jesus, and it lasts for all eternity. And I know we're going to be one big happy family when we all get to heaven, right? But does the Lord want us to be living in fellowship now? Yes, he does. Let me just give you two things if you want to jot them down. We don't have time to get into details. But the two ways to fix broken fellowship is we walk in God's love. And number two, we walk in God's truth. And if you walk in either one of those without the other, a plane, it's like trying to fly a plane with one wing. And it doesn't work real well. Some just want to love, and they don't want to go by God's truth. Some people just want to dwell on God's truth, but the love part is being left out. We've got to walk in both, and then there'll be real fellowship. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, we just pray you would take your word and use it in our hearts. Maybe some people will grab 1 John and start reading. But Lord, you tell us in there of your love for us, and you tell us what it cost you. And then you start telling us what you expect from us as your children with regard to you, with regard to each other. And Lord, you tell us that if we walk in fellowship, then we'll be functioning the way that you want us to function. And the result will be joy, true, rich, unadulterated joy. And that's what we want in our lives. We see all the sadness around us, Lord. And most of it is because people are walking out of fellowship. So, Lord, as your people today, I pray for every person in our congregation, young and old alike, by your Spirit, do a work in us and teach us how to actually walk in fellowship and walk in love every single day. If we do, we'll know your joy. Thank you that you loved us with actions, not just words, and that you sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that's why even fellowship is possible. So today as we come, Lord, to take this communion, remind us that that is the basis of the fellowship we have both with you and with each other. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.